Welcome to another MyTunes podcast here on manxradio.com with me, Mark Tiley. Fresh from the morning show with our friends at Shaw Isle of Man, my guest this week is Steve Gray.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Another week of MyTunes on Manx Radio with me, Mark Tiley, and my guest all this week, Steve Gray. Welcome to MyTunes, Steve.
Thank you very much.
I will go through the beginning bit because it's quite an interesting route through music. Steve, you may know as a keyboard player here, but it didn't start out like that. I'm looking at this here. Lessons in Leeds, where you grew up, violin, flute, percussion, and then piano. That's quite a route to market, Steve.
It is indeed, yeah. I really started off as a violinist, and I lived in a fairly musical family. And actually, I was brought up very much on classical music. You know, from a very young age, I was listening to things like Kreisler and Paganini rather than blues and jazz, which is very much what I listen to now. And it was actually when I got to Cheatham's that I started listening to more of the sort of poppy, jazzy, bluesy type of music rather than when I was young.
Now, you went to Cheatham's, what were you, 9 when you went?
Oh, yes, I was, yeah, 9.
Yeah, but that's a heck of an experience. I mean, what a place to go.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, the first 2 or 3 years, obviously I was very young, and I think you find, you know, going to a boarding school like that, that at that age, that you do get quite homesick. But as the years went by, and I made a lot of good friends there, and, you know, we had a real sort of common interest, I found that, you know, that I look back at it now, and it was some of the best experiences of my life.
And a cross-section of musicians, it must have been every walk of life.
It was a cross-section of society because, unlike most other private schools, everyone that was at Cheatham's was either granted by their local authority because of their musical ability or granted by the government because of their musical ability. So you tended to find that, you know, in fact, we had a distant relative of the royal family at Cheatham's, and we also had people that were coming from, you know, Liverpool, Manchester, Leeds, London, from all walks of society, as you say.
Obviously, I mentioned you went violin, flute, percussion, piano, but did you keep the violin and flute going whilst you'd moved on to the piano?
Violin, yes. Flute, no. What happened when I got to Cheatham's, flute was like my second study. They wanted you to do a second study that was more harmonic, that allowed you to learn more about harmony and, you know, rather than two single line instruments, basically. So I think that's really how I started playing piano.
And going through that, did you think pretty much all the way through you would be a professional musician, or were there other ideas during those school days?
I think you are geared up for being a professional musician. You do far less academic subjects. So I think I only took it was O-levels at the time, but, you know, for the equivalent of 4 GCSEs. And when I did A-levels, I specifically concentrated on 2 different music A-levels.
And then Trinity for a year, Trinity College of Music, but just 1 year.
I only did a year. I was supposed to do a 4-year performance course, but I think probably having had 9 years at Cheatham's, I just was probably, I don't know, I so absorbed in music that I just wanted some, you know, a change. And a lot of my friends at the time were moving on from their music college positions into the sort of session world. So I was really attempting to do the same, and I was working with orchestras and bands and pretty much everything I could do at the time.
Now, we'll talk a lot more about that tomorrow, but let's have your first piece of music. What's it going to be?
The first tune I'm choosing is Spirits in a Material World by The Police.
What's the driver behind that, Steve?
Well, I think really The Police were very much, you know, the first real band that I was listening to. Late 70s, I was just at that sort of age when you start getting into pop music. And The Police were very much the band of the time. They had hit after hit after hit. And this one is just, I particularly like this tune. I think the rhythm kind of throws you a bit. And it's one that I still listen to today and think it still sounds great. Oh.
iTunes on Manx Radio with me, Mark Tiley, and my guest all this week, known across the island in many, many bands for his piano playing skills and also for his business skills, which we'll talk about a little later on in the week. It's Steve Gray. Seems like only yesterday. Oh, that's because it was. We covered Cheatham's and we did a year at Trinity College and then the big wide world, going out and trying to make your name playing for other people. It's hard, though, isn't it? To make a living in this business, it's tough.
You could do it by doing the gigs with the local orchestras and bands and you know, everything you could get your hands on. But really, the other thing you needed to do was teach to get a decent income from music. Unless you were in the very sort of upper echelons of musicianship. Some of my friends were, but I wasn't really geared up for teaching music, and the gigs were coming in, but they weren't as regular as they would need to be to generate a living wage.
So into the finance sector in London, 1990. What a time to be in it.
It was great. My first week working in an office in London was Italia 90. It was a very social occasion, actually, and I got to know the work crowd very quickly.
That whole London scene, the finance scene, it was going like crazy, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yeah. This was, I mean, there was an early 90s recession, but this was pre-90s recession and everything was kind of booming at the time. And I mean, not that I would really have noticed because I'd started working in an office and I was a bit sort of green. I didn't really, I didn't really know what the industry was all about at that time. But London was great. And, you know, in those days, I mean, I was working in Mayfair, fantastic part of town to work. Such a nice part of London, and it just felt great as a young 21, I think I was at the time. So, you know, it was a big wide eyes.
And then after a few years, you came to the Isle of Man, and I get the feeling when you got here in what, about 1996, not only got a new job and a new role and everything, but you sort of rediscovered your music here.
Yeah, I think, I mean, initially when I first came over, I did a little bit playing, we formed a jazz fusion band, I think it was, myself, John Sanders, the late great Dave Charney on drums, actually, and a sax player called Paul Oliphant Smith, who used to play with Anglin and Simon. We did a bit of gigging around. It was not particularly mainstream, but that was only fairly brief. And it wasn't really until until I came back to the island in 2001 that I started really playing again. And, and that did reinvigorate. It was at that time that my interest was really reinvigorated and I started playing regularly.
And by that time, it was firmly keyboards.
Yeah.
Do you think, quick question about the Isle of Man, do you think, given the size of it, it's an incredibly diverse and a rich musical tapestry here?
Absolutely. There's a lot of variety. There's a lot of really good musicians. I mean, and it's only in the last few years that I've come across things like the theatre scene here that I think is absolutely amazing. You know, I've seen some of the shows down at the Gaiety. I've managed to play with some of the people that have performed there and you know, how good they actually are. In addition to that, you know, you've got the blues club scene, of course, which you know very well.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of jazz happening now on the island with bands like, there was the bands that I've been involved with, but also the Lava and their offshoots. There's a real variety. Plus, there's a good number of classical players here as well.
Let's take your second piece of music. Who's this?
This is Earth, Wind & Fire, a band very close to my heart, and this tune is one of my favourite slow tunes of all time, written by actually David Foster, if I recall.
Yeah.
Right. Who I think is, you know, a great songwriter, who's written many good songs over the years.
Have you seen them live, Steve?
I never got to see them live, and actually what really got me into Earth, Wind & Fire was, I mean, obviously everyone was aware of them in the late 70s and early 80s, but I went to see Morrissey Mullen band at the Half Moon in Putney. Yeah. And they did a cover of Can't Let Go, and that got me onto the album I Am, which is where this comes from. And from there, I just got into the whole sort of Earth, Wind & Fire repertoire.
Young and we deep inside we knew our love was true for a while. We paid no mind to the past. We knew love would last every night. Something right would invite us to begin the day. Something happened along the way. We used to be happy with sand.
My tunes on this Wednesday morning with my guest all this week, Steve Gray. We've covered a lot of ground already, but Steve, today I'd like to really focus on jazz because, you know, it's an old saying, isn't it? What's the difference between jazz and rock? A jazz musician plays 300 chords to three people. A rock musician plays three chords to 300 people. You know, yep. It's hard, it's complicated, and it's unloved by a lot of people.
I think there's a misconception as well. You know, I mean, I've always said that, you know, a lot of jazz is thought of as being sort of freaky music almost, you know, people going off on tangents and soloing all over the place. But some of the great American songs are what we'd call jazz standards, things like Summertime, you know, a lot of the other Gershwin tunes. They've got fantastic melodies. They give you a fantastic chord structure over which you can solo. Particularly like it where there's good harmonic melodic changes, which, you know, gives you an opportunity to develop melody within a solo. It's just a very intellectual type of music, really. It's probably my favourite type of music harmonically.
It's one of those things, and you're so right about some of the great classic pieces. You know, you mentioned Gershwin and etc. Because the people, I think, if they may be scared of the term jazz, and when you start giving them individual pieces of their music, they actually love them.
Yeah, and they don't realise they're jazz, you know, and that's the other thing. Or they'll say, I didn't realise this was jazz. They think of sort of, I don't know, Ornette Coleman, which I do like, but if you're not somebody that's a fan of jazz, you might find Ornette Coleman a bit wild. But some of the, certainly some of the straight ahead standards are some of the nicest pieces of music I've ever heard.
You know, going back to the 60s, when things were really changing fast, not only was the pop thing and the rock thing happening, but people like Dudley Moore, there was a whole cool jazz element subculture going on, and it had a real life of its own, and it did trickle into the mainstream. It was quite an interesting era. I mean, Dudley Moore, sadly, no longer with us. He brought people into his world through television and whatever.
There is a sort of very mainstream, almost easy listening type of jazz happening. Things like Michael Bublé, Jamie Cullum. You know, so, well, that I say it's probably not so much in the last 5 years, but certainly in the last 10 to 15 years, there have been some fairly mainstream jazz artists. But again, they've kind of moved around a bit, you know. They've gone from doing a jazz tune into doing, I don't know, a Hendrix cover, for example, like Jamie Cullum did, you know. So it's a real sort of mixed bag of music now, I think. And I think, again, they're trying to appeal more to the masses by covering a broader range of music.
When you're playing jazz, how hard do you have to concentrate, or how much is it just flowing out of those fingers, Steve?
It depends. Some of the standards I know very well, and then it flows. So if I know the chord structure inside out, then the soloing isn't so difficult. If I'm having to read the chord charts and try and solo, then I really have to concentrate. I find it very hard to play jazz without having the crux of a chord sheet in front of me.
Let's have our third piece.
We have Al Jarreau. Again, Al Jarreau was something that I started listening to around the same time as Earth, Wind & Fire. It was that sort of American funk jazz music that we were all listening to at school at the time. And actually, I went to see Al Jarreau a couple of times. The first time was actually in Manchester, and it must have been in about 1984 1985, and I was blown away. You know, had such a fantastic band of musicians. He was such a showman, and the music had a real groove to it.
And the track you're going to choose, what we got,
is Roof Garden.
Oh yeah, that's it, that's it, that's it. That's it, that's it, baby. Hey, mom, what's your mama gonna say? Did you finally let your body like this guy? Does anyone wanna go waltzing in the garden? Does anyone wanna go dance up on the roof? Does anyone wanna go waltzing in the garden? Does anyone wanna go dance up on the roof? Does anyone wanna go waltzing in the garden? Does anyone wanna go dance up on the roof? Does anyone wanna go waltzing in the garden? Does anyone wanna go dance up on the roof? Does anyone wanna go dance up on the roof? Does anyone wanna go waltzing in the cardigan? Does anyone wanna go dance up on the roof?
Come on up, bring it on.
Does anyone wanna go waltzing in the cardigan? Does anyone wanna go dance up on the roof?
If you dare dream of yesterday.
In the garden, does anyone wanna go dance up on the roof? Do 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 ba do da do do. So do 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 do. No, no, no.
Come along, get it on.
Is anyone gonna go waltzing in the garden? Is anyone gonna go dance up on the roof?
No one stays
in downtown these days.
Tunes on Manx Radio, and my guest all this week, you may well have seen him playing the ivory, tinkling the ivories, skirting across the keyboard with ease and dexterity and grace. It's Steve Gray. Steve, when I think about musicians turning up at various gigs, the drummer and the keyboard player seem to have the hardest get-in, dragging the stuff out of the van or out of the car and in there. But technology has helped you as a keyboard player no end over the last few years, hasn't it?
It has, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm now, I played exclusively 88 note stage pianos for about the last 10 years. And in the last year, I bought a 73 note, and it just is, it's a revelation. It's just so easy to carry, it's so light, and it makes a world of difference when I'm playing.
And when you think of keyboard players back in there, I mean, go back to the Hammond organ and there was a Yamaha electric grand piano that was supposed to be portable. Even that weighed a ton, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's the technology and the big thing is the weight. And you can get everything pretty much on one board now, whereas in the past you may have needed 2, 3, 4. You tend to find that, you know, that it's very hard to get a good piano and a good organ on the same board. Sometimes you may need 2 for that, but but generally there's a reasonable piano and a reasonable organ within the same board that you can use for most gigs.
And this is all being achieved through what, digital technology, am I right?
Yeah, digital technology, yeah. So
it's all stored, and they're real sounds stored. Is that how it works?
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, to be honest, I'm not the best for a keyboard player. I'm not particularly techno minded. I like to find keyboards that are really easy to use. I'm not the best at looking at manuals. I don't really have the patience.
Who is? You're a bloke. Yeah. You're a bloke. We don't do that.
No, exactly. I come across some keyboard players, though, who just seem to know everything about everything, and you know, certainly those that are very IT minded. tend to spend hours programming, whereas I generally just like to get, you know, the better the sampled sounds, the better it is for me, to be honest, the less I have to do.
Power at your fingertips. Take us through some of the bands we may have seen you in over the last few years, Steve. Who have you been with?
I think the first, certainly since I came back to the island in 2001, I think the first one that I really played out quite a bit with was Steamroller. Did a few of the blues festivals, played around the island from about 2003 to 2005. I played with the Blues Club Band for a number of years. I was the resident keyboard player before Heinrich. I've been playing on and off with Mark Burrows and Rachel Wild for years, doing jazz standards in a band called Another Shade of Blue. I've been playing with Joey Wild over the years. I played with Barry Nelson. And in the last couple of years, I've been doing quite a bit with the jazz clubs. We had the Embassy Jazz Club back in 2014, 2015. And recently we've had the Ellen Vannin Band Jazz Club, which has been organised by Jerry Carter. And in fact, we did bring over a couple of people in the new year, Alan Barnes and Dave Newton.
No shortage of talent, like we said at the very beginning, an amazing place, the Isle of Man. It's just people coming at you all over the place. Now, we haven't really talked about Equiem. We should just say, obviously, at the moment, you're working from home. But yes, with Equiem, I know, because I've seen you at airports various. You get around the place, don't you, with that company?
Yeah, I mean, there's been quite a bit of good travel over the last few years. I've been there for a long time now, and I think, you know, the majority of the senior staff are travelling fairly regularly. Obviously not at the moment, but...
No. And remind me, what do they do? What do they do? What do you guys do?
They're fiduciaries, accountants, tax, you know, and they're in sort of most jurisdictions, sort of globally now, in places like Hong Kong and Singapore.
Do you think this current phase will change the way you do business in the future? Will it go a slightly different way even when we get through it?
I think it's showing people that things can be done differently. And it's surprising how disciplined people have actually been. People seem to be available. I'm not just talking about within Equiem, but, you know, within the other businesses that I'm working with. So I think it is showing people that things can be done differently. I think there will be a need for people to come back together and travel, because sometimes, you know, the tendency when you're working from home like we are now is to communicate via email rather than speak to people. And I think, you know, people will miss that. I think you miss that conversation, and things that can, you know, take 20 minutes by email, take 3 minutes in a conversation. It's, you know, so yes, I think it will change, but I don't think it will change as much as people are suggesting it will change.
Well, here's to it ending or changing, and here's to us getting through it. Let's have our final piece of music, Steve. What have we got?
We have Donald Fagen, Greenflower Street.
Absolute quality. A musician you've been fond of for a while?
Actually, as a result of listening to Morrissey Mullen, which I mentioned earlier in the week, they covered this in one of their sets, and this is going back to the 80s, and it got me onto the album. Through that, I got into Steely Dan, and the rest is history.
Well, thank you for a cracking week, Steve. Some great music, and all the best through this and beyond.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Many thanks to brilliant keyboard player Steve Gray for joining me all this week on MyTunes on the morning show with our friends at Shaw Isle of Man. Don't forget, if you're looking for a new phone, you can make an appointment to pop into the store or give them a call to check out the new Apple iPhone SE or that amazing new Samsung phone, which is a game changer when it comes to photography. More podcasts from me, Mark Tiley, soon, right here at manxradio.com.